Welcome to Red Talks, a Red Viking podcast. We're committed to bold engineering, and this show brings you insights to match from industry experts and those at the front line of turnkey manufacturing solutions. Hey everyone, welcome to Red Talks, a podcast from the manufacturing experts at Red Viking and your source for insights and thought leadership. I'm Tyler Kern. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of the show. On the previous episode of the podcast, we discussed who Red Viking is and the way that Industry 4.0 is really changing the face of manufacturing. And today we're exploring Red Viking's role as a helicopter test industry leader with Chris Lake. He's the Vice President of Dynamic Test Systems at Red Viking. Chris, thanks so much for joining me.
No problem. Great to be here, Tyler. Thanks.
Absolutely. Well, like I mentioned, we're going to be talking all about how Red Viking became a leader in the helicopter test industry. We're also going to get a little bit more into Chris's background, learn a little bit about how he got to where he is today here on the show. So lots of good stuff to look forward to here coming up on the show. So Chris, let's start off here. You've done $150 million plus in helicopter testing revenue, and you haven't really even been doing it all that long. So you're in Detroit, which is typically, you know, an automotive industry city, a place that, you know, pretty synonymous with the automotive industry in the United States. Can you tell me how you got started and how you really kind of found your way into doing helicopter?
Yeah, sure, Tyler. It's pretty interesting story. It's been a crazy ride. You know, we really have only been at this, at least in the helicopter industry, for about 10 years. And to get to $150 million in that short span of time has been quite a ride. You know, Red Viking was not always Red Viking. We started out as a small controls system integrator in the early 80s called Superior Controls. And, you know, for probably about the first 10 years, 15 years, it was primarily just control system stuff. So it wasn't really until maybe the early 90s that we got into doing some kind of like mechanical systems and really capital equipment. And of course, that was all automotive stuff, the automotive control stuff and automotive equipment. The big leap for us came, like I said, about 10 years ago in 2009, when the U.S. Army had a major program to modernize a bunch of helicopter gearbox test systems. And it was a major program. And so they went out in search of some companies to take this on. And somehow we got our name in the mix, which, you know, at that time we were not a player. We hadn't really built any helicopter or test systems. We had, of course, done some aerospace test systems and a lot of automotive stuff, but nothing near the scale of what they were asking. But we had the skills in the background. So that program came up, and it was a opportunity to basically go in and modernize and replace about 22 different major systems that the Army was using to test helicopter gearboxes. And, you know, the equipment ranged from a few decades to maybe 50, 60 years old. The equipment was, you know, all different types of technology on them. Testing components from like six different helicopter platforms, three different manufacturers. Of course, you know, the military is buying things from all over the place and accumulating this stuff over years. So they couldn't really keep up with the demand, testing demand and the overhaul demand of the gearboxes. So they needed to modernize this equipment. So it was an opportunity for us to take a look at. It was a major program. A bigger test system program than we had ever even really thought about getting involved in. And we kind of took a shot. And what we did is we approached the problem very similar to the way we approached the problems in the automotive market and in our, you know, throughout our history. And part of the challenge was the data to support doing that didn't really exist. And if it did exist, it was spread out across, you know, the government, military, the helicopter OEMs, some of their suppliers and things like that. So, you know, in compiling all this data, we had to take a bunch of different paths. And, you know, this is, again, part of what started to build our reputation in the industry is, you know, that is a to a lot of companies and especially historical aerospace companies that have been in this market, that's kind of a sit back and wait for somebody to hand me the data so I can do my job type approach. And we took this kind of this automotive background, go get it done approach and figured it out. And so we had a team on site at the government's test facility, and they witnessed the tests. They took notes and did interviews on the test engineers and kind of developed our own test procedures. We had mechanical inspectors with inspection equipment that went on site and measured and recreated the dimensional information off of the transmissions, because the you know, when a lot of these components were developed 30, 40, 50 years ago, they did not have CAD files and models, you know, mathematical models or CAD models of anything. They may have had some, you know, paper prints somewhere, but those things get lost and destroyed and whatnot. So anyway, we had a team collecting data, physical data off of the components themselves. And then the last step, which I participated in, was to take what data we had collected and go to the helicopter manufacturers themselves and try to get an audience with the technical folks there that may know something about these different platforms or that were around when they were developed, present to them what we had and what our challenge was and what we were trying to do, and see if we could get buy-in and fill in the blanks. And that was a pretty exciting time. I mean, visiting all these great companies, meeting some super smart engineers that have, you know, been around for a long time in the industry, learning how and why they do things the way they do, and also listening to kind of some naysayers on, you know, good luck with our challenge, because consolidating this stuff wasn't going to be easy. So that was great experience. I mean, it was tough work because, you know, these companies are competitors. A lot of the data is kind of trade secret data to them, and they're not super interested in openly sharing it. So that was a challenge, you know, still working diligently with the primary helicopter OEMs that we started with. And so, you know, it's been just over a decade since we first kind of dipped our toe in the water, and we've built test equipment for four of the five largest worldwide helicopter manufacturers. We have systems here in North America. We have systems in Europe. We have systems in Asia. I think we've done business in like 15 different countries. And like you said at the top, I mean, I think we've generated over $150 million in just helicopter testing revenue in the last 10 years. You know, coming from kind of small automotive systems in the 2000s to where we are today has just been incredible.
Yeah, it's a wild ride, and it's really fun to get to hear, you know, the specifics and the ins and outs of how this evolution really occurred, and now you're really a leader in the helicopter testing industry, and that's, you know, a new and interesting thing. And so what does that mean for you and for Red Viking in general, and what have people come to expect from you as a company now that you are kind of in that industry leader type space?
Good question. So the fact that we're kind of a player now has been really exciting, really cool. You know, as far as my team, that the engineering team and the project management team and the applications team that works on these projects, you know, bringing them in the door and executing them, it's really exciting for them to know that they're one of only a handful of companies in the world that can do this kind of stuff, and that people know Red Viking, you know, all over the world, and we're getting phone calls from Korea and from Australia and from the Middle East. And it's just, it's a fun thing to be a part of. And you know, what the industry is hearing out there, they're hearing a lot about the way we do business. And you know, from my perspective and my history here, it comes from where we got our roots in the automotive industry, and the way we attacked problems then is the same approach we take now. And in a lot of cases, I think it's refreshing for these helicopter and aerospace companies to see that level of, you know, interest and urgency and willingness to kind of partner with them and to find a solution rather than to kind of sit back and wait for information or for things to happen. So, you know, our customers have been treated with some very, very high level initial proposals and information up front. So we get a ton of inquiries very early on in stages of a development program, asking for our advice and for our support and consulting on developing a scope of work, or, you know, what the best approach would be, how many systems they need, what kind of budget do they need, things like that. We spend a ton of time with current customers and future customers, helping them developing and clarifying those specifications. In the end, they, you know, we generate these phenomenal proposals that serve as a guideline for our team and for the customer when we do get awarded contracts. So that's kind of become part of the deal, where some of our good customers don't bother writing the scope anymore. They just wait for our proposal because they know it'll be outlined and it'll be detailed well enough for the contract to follow. You know, the other things from a level of quality, aesthetics, and performance, customers really expect the highest level there. You know, these systems in general are expected to operate for 40 or 50 years. These are not a couple year investment. These are long-term investment. So we spend a ton of time planning and engineering. We do a tremendous amount of analysis. And, you know, some of our customers have joked with us that we design the test stand and specifically the commercial gearboxes we put on the test stand, just like they do the helicopters. We use the same tools, the same level of analysis. And, you know, obviously our test stand's not going to be flying around carrying people, but it's pretty interesting to know that we're going to those lengths to make sure that they get a high quality system. And then we just stay engaged, you know, throughout the whole project. We make sure that we're engaged with the customer. We're making sure that we are providing what they need to ensure their success. We continue to support them after the equipment's installed and commissioned and in operation. And, you know, of course, we try to use high quality components, and we do all that analysis and design work up front so that we minimize the kind of support they need. But we are there to help them. Sometimes there's modifications. Sometimes it's just they need to change the way they're doing testing or things like that, and they need some help. But built quite a reputation based on those principles. And like I said, a lot of that stuff came from our roots, and that was kind of expected early on when we were dealing with automotive customers.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned your roots, and that's particularly interesting to me. Do you think that maybe coming from a different place than some of your competitors and other companies that are in this space maybe almost give you an advantage or a leg up, just in that you saw the industry with fresh eyes? You came in just with a different background, with that automotive background as well. Do you feel like in a way that really helped kind of give you a different perspective, which people appreciated?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think just the level of intensity, I would call it, that we approached some of these problems with, especially when we talked about, you know, our first opportunity in the market and trying to build enough credibility to be considered for that type of project. What won it over was the urgency and the outside of the box and the non-traditional thinking that we brought. And it was funny at the time, you know, we're talking about things like uptime of the equipment and efficiency and changeover and minimizing the changeover and ergonomics and safety, all things that you have to incorporate in any kind of an automotive design that were, you know, not traditional buzzwords and things at that time. You know, of course, safety and all those things are important, but not to the same level as it had become in the automotive industry, the requirements and things like that. So when we came to the table with those things at the forefront, it just, it seemed like, you know, we knew what we were talking about, and, the plan seemed reasonable and achievable, and we built enough confidence in the 6 months that we had to kind of prove ourselves and prove that we could build a plan. A lot of that came from our history, and I think that did give us a huge advantage, you know, versus kind of doing what they had originally asked, which was to replace what they had, kind of upgrade what they already had, taking this totally different approach, which is kind of in line with what we would do with an automotive manufacturer, building the least amount of capital to handle the most amount of product and in the most efficient way. That definitely gave us a leg up and got us in this into this industry.
So Chris, as you look forward then, you know, now that you have, you know, 10 plus years of experience and this reputation in the industry, what are you doing to leverage what you've done in the past and to prepare for the future a little bit more and maybe to keep you connected to those roots that, that initially gave you that advantage? You also don't want to lose that, right? So so what are you doing to leverage that experience and then also stay connected to what got you here in the first place?
So there's always more to learn. So we are trying to ride the wave of momentum that we have and build on what we've already done to date and what we've learned. Our team is always growing and developing and getting smarter. And with the scale of what we've been able to accomplish, the facilities we've put together, the team and the capabilities of the team that we've put together, there are a lot of challenges that we can take on now that were kind of outside of our reach before. You know, we have a lot of advantages over other companies trying to get into this kind of a of an industry through the facilities alone. I mean, to be able to construct and test, you know, these major high power systems in house is a huge advantage for us, and that, you know, took us a lot to develop that, but it's a big deal now. Now that we have that, we can offer, you know, support for our customers. We can offer doing testing services for them or keeping their equipment on our floor if we have to. So there's a lot there. Beyond the helicopter market, there's plenty of room out there for our skill set. And we're already starting to expand outside of the helicopter market into other similar large scale, high power applications where we can use our background and experience and capabilities. You know, we just finished a multi-model flexible test stand to test big marine transmissions. We're currently working on our first wind turbine gearbox test stand. So very high power, very similar to the helicopter industry, right up our alley. And there's a lot of other future markets and potential out there. We get interest a lot from, you know, heavy construction equipment and the drivetrain, driveline testing of big equipment like that, large scale generators, and even some locomotive stuff. So the future there and leveraging what we've done and our capabilities is big for us going down the road. As far as our roots, we still do automotive test stands. We still work on a lot of automotive projects. The demands are still as stringent as ever. And those provide a good mix, both from a, you know, workflow standpoint for us. They're a little quicker pace, shorter, smaller projects, which is good to keep everybody busy. But they also keep us on our toes and keep us connected to our history. And it's always interesting, you know, going from a long multi-year big helicopter program to a production automotive stand project where the delivery is, you know, a few months rather than several years. And, you know, having that realization or team realization that, you know, going from week, it's not possible to accomplish this and build this design and build a system like this in a matter of months. You know, this stuff takes years. and, you know, getting back to the roots and figuring out how to get it done in the time frame that you have from an automotive standpoint. And we've been successful doing it still, and we don't have any intent to get out of that. Stay connected and build on what we've built as well.
Well, it's a fantastic story and an incredible just timeline here of what you've been able to achieve. And so I'd love getting to hear the story here today on the podcast. Chris Lake of Red Viking. Chris, thank you so much for joining us here on this episode and sharing a little bit more about your career path and how that's coincided with the growth of this particular area of business for Red Viking. It's been an absolute blast.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Tyler. It's always fun telling the story and looking forward to see where we can go from here, man.
I am looking forward to it as well, and I've just absolutely loved hearing the story today. And so, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Red Talks. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Of course, stay tuned for more episodes coming out soon. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go subscribe, stay up to date with the latest from Red Viking, and hear more stories like this about how Red Viking really became a leader in the helicopter test industry. And stay tuned, because we'll be back soon with those new episodes. But for my guest today, Chris Lake, I've been your host, Tyler Kern. Thanks so much for listening.